Mark 11, Luke 19, and John 12. It was a cultural movement. Palm Sunday and Easter didn't happen in its own vacuum. It happened within a culture. So it was the week of Passover. Now, this is a time when the people spent a week remembering when God led the people out of oppression and slavery into freedom. And they hoped that God was going to do this again for the oppression that they were feeling at the time. This led to a heightened national hope of deliverance, because Passover had focused on that. And it also meant that there were massive crowds in Jerusalem. Sorry, I keep kicking my toe. There we go. It was also a time of unsettled political and religious climate. So there are a lot of different people in play. On this side, there were the Zealots, and they wanted a violent revolution against Romans. They were the extremists. On the other side, we have the Romans, and they weren't concerned with religion, but they were concerned with order and obedience and stopping rebellion. And in the middle were two groups of people called the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And we're going to look at them for a bit because they play a big role in this time. First were the Pharisees. Now, they focus on the law and the Torah, or the Torah, which was the Torah and oral traditions. Now, this made for a lot of laws. There were 613 laws in the Torah. And it's then believed that there was over 1,800 extra laws given through oral tradition. Now, this created a lot of problems, including that new laws were always being invented for new situations. It confused the personal preference with divine law. It produced inconsistencies, and it became a burden of judgment to the Jews. They believed in the resurrection of the dead as a future event when the righteous would be raised to eternal life. Now, this was tied to the coming of the Messiah. The Pharisees anticipated a time when God would vindicate his people, reward the righteous, and restore Israel. They just didn't believe Jesus was it. They believed in the afterlife and in the existence of angels and demons in the spiritual realm. And Jesus had more run-ins with the Pharisees than they did with the Sadducees. And this was probably because of the way that the Pharisees gave importance to so many oral traditions. We then have the Sadducees. Now, they're the elite temple rulers. They were more wealthy and therefore holders of more powerful positions. They believed in the literal interpretation of the texts of Scripture. So if the Sadducees couldn't find a command in the Tanakh, they dismissed it as man-made. They denied resurrection, afterlife, and spiritual realm. And they worked with the Romans. They didn't oppose them. And they were known as the power players. There are records of them, of the way that they manipulated, coerced, blackmailed, paid people to get their own way. And because the Sadducees were often more concerned with politics than religion, they ignored Jesus until they began to fear he might bring unwanted Roman attention and upset the status quo. So both the Pharisees and the Sadducees were part of the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin were a 70-member Supreme Court. Now, there are two types of expectations, false expectations and healthy expectations. Healthy expectations are grounded in truth and an understanding of people, self and circumstances. And these often create part of boundaries, having healthy boundaries. These expectations tend to strengthen relationships with others and with yourself. So an example would be letting a friend know that you've had a hard day and hoping that they'll check in, but understanding that they might be really busy and they might check in later or they may not check in. False expectations are built on assumptions, desires, or incomplete understanding. They often come from what we want to happen rather than what is actually likely or true. These lead to disappointment, frustration, or even resentment. So an example is expecting a friend or the church to always know how you feel without you saying anything, and then feeling hurt when they don't respond the way that you hoped. How many of you have tried to put together a flat pack piece of furniture? And if anybody with grey hair, it's probably you. I'm pretty lucky in the fact that Dave is one of those weird people that actually enjoy those things. But for me, they are a nightmare. And so it normally goes like this. I buy a flat pack piece of furniture, normally a bookshelf, because I think that's achievable. And I look at the picture and I think, I know what this is going to look like when I finish. That is my expectation. How hard can this be? I open the box. There's 199 pieces. None of them look like a bookshelf. So I find the instructions and I still can't understand them. But hey, I know what it should look like, so I start to build. Fast forward 2 hours. I've got one panel on backwards, 3 screws left over, and the bookshelf is now on a lean. Not what I expected. And I find myself getting angry. I expected this to be easy. I expected them to at least write the instructions in a way that I can understand them. I expected to be able to do this before Dave got home so I could do it myself and show him that I didn't need his help. I expected. Now I've got 2 choices. I can keep letting my unmet expectations get me angrier and angrier, or I can recognize that my false expectations wasn't reality, it was just expectation. When I work with people who are carrying trauma, one of the trauma responses that we need to work through is the fact that trauma builds false expectations on what all people are like, and therefore it creates certain unhealthy responses. Let me give you an example. Bob, not his real name, experiences a relationship that creates trauma. Now, this can happen in various ways. It can come through domestic violence, addiction, coercive control, online bullying, or trolling, parenting issues. There's many ways that this could happen. Due to this situation, Bob now has little trust, not only in people generally, but also in himself and his ability to know who to trust and who not to trust. What happened is Bob expected the person in the past to be trustworthy and safe. When they weren't, this created trauma, and Bob now expects everyone else to be untrustworthy and unsafe. And because of this false expectation, Bob acts that way. He will put up walls and seem cold and distant. He will pre-assume that you are going to hurt him. So to keep himself safe, Bob gets in first and does or say things to you to make sure that he will not get hurt by you first. Some of these ways is he'll distance himself. He'll always challenge everything that is done or said until he feels like he's got control. He can seem ungrateful or selfish. He can also seem whiny. You see, both healthy and false expectations don't just sit in our minds. They actively guide our actions. I asked you in the beginning to look at the list and think of any false expectations you had of certain people or groups. Let's bring them back to mind. We need to deal with false expectations in our lives. They affect our lives. They affect our relationships with others, with the brothers and sisters in Christ, with God and with his church. And we need to deal with them. So how do we do this? We need to acknowledge them. Many of us live with false expectations that we don't realize we have. And we think they are normal and right. The false expectation that you as a customer are always right and therefore can get verbally angry when they take too long or the prices are too high or they haven't packed your goods in the right way or they made your coffee incorrectly or it's too noisy. This false expectation is ruining you from being the light of the world God wants you to be. The false expectation that people should understand and agree with everything you say and feel, otherwise they don't like you. This false expectation will stop you from forming healthy, strong relationships. The false expectation that everybody will experience God and express it in the same way as you, or that your church should always do things the way that you think is right. This expectation will rob you of experiencing the richness and the fullness of the body of Christ, the church. We need to be truthful with ourselves and acknowledge the false expectations we carry and how they affect our lives. Once we've acknowledged them, we need to take them to Jesus and die to them. Many of our false expectations are expressions of what we think our rights are. I have the right to be treated as a valued customer, I am. I have the right to express my views, no matter how much it hurts others. I have the right to be healthy or wealthy. I have the right. False expectations are about rights. And so we need to die to ourselves, die to our rights and our false expectations, and lay them at the foot of the throne. The same way Jesus did when he chose the cross for us, he laid down his rights. We then need to ask God to replace them with his truth, that he is Lord of all. During the week of Palm Sunday, people's false expectations were not met, and that built into what happened in Good Friday. A commentator writes, "The Jews of Jesus' time had conflicting views about the role and function of the Messiah. Some believed the Messiah would be a restorative figure who would return the Jews to their previous position of power and influence. Others viewed the Messiah with more apocalyptic terms as someone who would annihilate the present world and build a new, more just world upon its ruins. There were those who thought the Messiah would be a king and those who thought he'd be a high priest, who would correct the corruption and false worship occurring in the temple. There were many different expectations of what Jesus would be. They expected freedom from Rome. Jesus offered freedom from sin. They expected to rule again. Jesus asked for surrender. They expected victory through recognition. Jesus chose victory through the cross. The core truth here is the issue for many wasn't Jesus's identity. It was their expectations. Sometimes we expect things of God that he may never have promised to do or say or be for us. And we can experience deep frustration when he does not live up to our expectation. How are your expectations affecting your actions towards others, towards the church, towards God? Palm Sunday raises some challenges for us. Do we follow Jesus or do we follow our version of him? And what do you expect of Jesus? And if he never met those expectations, would you still follow him as Lord? And do we miss what God is doing because it looks different to what we expected? The crowd missed the Messiah they were waiting for because he didn't act or be as they presented or expected. Are they at risk of doing the same? Are we able to surrender our expectations, die to our rights like Jesus did with the cross, and ask for eyes to see Jesus as he truly is, and invite him to reshape our understanding? You know, sometimes the problem isn't that God hasn't come through, it's that he hasn't done it in the way or the timing that we expected. Sometimes he leads us to the cross before he leads us to victory. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you aware that our expectations so often do not match who you truly are. Like the crowd on Palm Sunday, we confess that we can praise you when you seem to fit our hopes, and yet struggle when you don't meet the picture we've created. We admit that at times we have followed our version of you rather than surrendering to who you really are, the true King. Forgive us, Lord, for the false expectations we carry. Today we choose to lay those expectations at the foot of the cross. We surrender our need for control, our need to be right, our need for things to happen our way. Teach us what it means to die to ourselves, just as you did. Jesus, reshape our hearts. Give us eyes to see you as you truly are, not just as the one who meets our needs, but as the one who calls us to surrender. Help us to trust you when you work differently than we expected. Help us to follow you even when the path leads to the cross before it leads to victory. And form in us healthy, grace-filled expectations, grounded in your truth, your character, and your promises. As we walk through this week towards Good Friday and Easter, keep our hearts close to you. May we not miss what you are doing because it looks different than what we imagined. We declare today, you are the King we need, even when you are not the King we expected, and we choose to follow you. In your powerful name, amen.